to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, November 28, 2021, the first Sunday of Advent. Happy New Year! We do that a little early in the church, you know. The first Sunday of Advent is our new year, the beginning of the whole cycle of our liturgical year in which we tell the story of Jesus and God's salvation. And we always start, as you do, with the end of the world. We're really confused. Is this the beginning or the end? We always have this gospel or one like it. About the powers of the heavens being shaken, earthquakes and cataclysms, and the Son of Man coming in glory. We might look at that as an ominous reading, right? We think of that as something to be afraid of. There's a lot to be afraid of. I was keeping track during the pandemic. In fact, the pageant last year, I kind of made a joke of cataclysm bingo. Do you remember this? How many things can you remember from 2020? We had murder hornets. Remember murder hornets? And we had wildfires and earthquakes. We had in Hawaii a volcano. I mean, just you name it, and it was there. It really felt like things were shaky. And it hasn't really improved in 2021, has it? Thought we were getting past this pandemic, and now Omicron. We all learned a new Greek letter. Isn't that exciting? Omicron. Sounds like a science fiction villain, Omicron, doesn't it? We don't know what's going to happen with that. We have all this anxiety. Someone at breakfast at 8 a.m. said, I'd love to know how I could live without anxiety. Right? How do we do that? Well, our scriptures today actually give us kind of a clue about how we might live without anxiety, how we might live in a different way, expecting God's reign to come in its fullness, but expecting that without fear and without a sense of doom, but instead with a real sense of hope and anticipation. How do we do that? St. Paul tells us in Thessalonians, a letter in which he's really wrestling with how are we supposed to live while we wait for Jesus. This was Paul's main concern talking to the early church. He said, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. Love, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. It's a little different way of saying something. I remember once seeing a poster in an office that said, Jesus is coming, look busy. Paul's not saying look busy. Paul is saying strengthen your hearts in holiness. Strengthen your hearts in holiness. How do we do that? Well, the church has been telling us how to do that for 2,000 years. We strengthen our hearts in holiness by the very same spiritual practices that we have already been engaging in, by the habits of a holy life, by coming to church to hear these scriptures, to receive the sacrament of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, by saying our prayers, by reading the scriptures, by acting in love for one another, by extending ourselves in love, helping those who are helpless, reaching out with compassion through agencies like Neighborhood House and SOS, and all the many ways that you already do those things. You know what to do. You've been doing it. We know what to do. The problem is sometimes when we're thinking about taking on something new, we suffer from a disease. It runs rampant in my family. It's called perfectionism. I remember when my kids were little, if they couldn't be good at something the first time, they gave up. right? Because they felt, they were taught somehow that you have to be perfect at everything. And we know that's not possible. We have to labor our whole lives to practice and be good at things. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book talking about the 10,000 hour rule, that people who really become proficient spend 10,000 hours, years of effort practicing before they become good. And he used the Beatles as an example, and he used Bill Gates as an example of people who practiced their craft carefully to become excellent. Well, I'm a different type of example. I'm not the Beatles and I'm not Bill Gates, but you already knew that. I've been practicing my whole life not to become excellent, but to become mediocre. Today I want to celebrate mediocrity. I want to give you an example. When I was in high school, I ran cross country. And I did that not because I was any good at running. I'm a big guy. I've always been a big guy. I'm not really built like a runner. But my friends were running cross country, and it was a non-contact sport. My mom wouldn't let me play football, so cross country it was. And I ran, and I practiced every day, and I ran miles and miles and miles, and I went to the meets, and I was always at the back. I never won a race. I never even came close to winning a race, but I never came in last. That was my claim to fame. It was between another guy and me, and I would race to the end to beat him out so I wasn't last. But I never got good. And then I gave up running through college. And then in my late 30s, I realized I had to do something for my health, and I thought, I'm going to take up running again. And you know what? I wasn't any better in my late 30s than I had been at 17. In fact, I was in the best shape of my life at 17, and it was not anywhere near that in my late 30s. And for the last 20 years, I have been faithfully running and getting worse and worse at it because I'm getting older and slower. My daughter came up from DC, and our custom has been to run the turkey trot. Well, this year we didn't actually go to Detroit. We ran our own 10K around the neighborhood. And I'm still mediocre is probably an exaggeration of how good my running is. But I'll tell you something, running has enabled me not to become a good runner, but it's helped me to become a better person. Because running is the time that I do my best prayer. Centering prayer for me is tough because I'm fidgety, right? But when my body is occupied with running, my mind is set free to commune with God, to reflect on my life, to give thanks, to pray intercessory prayer for people, to be in tune with God in nature. I get to run with my dog, who is just as mediocre a runner as I am, though he could be much better with a better master, I think. But running has helped me to become better. I won't be great at it, but I love it, and it helps me. As long as I can do it, I will do it. Made me think of my favorite television program, probably of all time, and that is The Muppet Show. Do you remember The Muppet Show? You have to be a certain age, I think, to remember The Muppet Show. After Sesame Street, Jim Henson developed this show, and it was about a group of people, Muppets, who put on a variety show every week. You remember that? There was Fozzie Bear, the stand-up comedian, and Ralph, the piano player, and Kermit the Frog, who was trying to keep the whole group together, and Miss Piggy, the diva, and the Swedish Chef, and Beaker, and you know, all the wonderful, oddball, weird characters of The Muppet Show. Well, I was thinking lately about The Muppet Show for some reason. I think because there's a commercial with animal in it, right? Got me thinking about The Muppet Show. You want to know a truth about The Muppet Show? None of those Muppets were any good at what they did. Fozzie Bear was a terrible comedian. Ralph was not the best piano player. Miss Piggy had all the ego but none of the talent, right? They were all mediocre at best. In fact, they had two critics who were in there. Do you remember that? Statler and Waldorf, the two old guys sat up in the balcony. Well, one of them said to the other, you know, I call this the medium show. I said, well, why do you call it that? He said, well, it's not rare and it's certainly not well done. But week after week after week, those oddballs and misfits came together to do their best. They built a community that was all about serving others. And in their mediocrity, I saw and still see something precious and beautiful. Because in and through that, something magical happened. That's what happens to us in the kingdom of God. We are oddballs and misfits, all of us from a variety of backgrounds with our strengths, our weaknesses, our anxieties, our foibles. We come together to practice the presence of God, to strengthen our hearts in holiness, to wait in hope for the revealing of God's kingdom. We practice our spiritual disciplines not because we're any good at them. You know, Mother Teresa, at the end of her life, wrote some very poignant letters that got released, in which she talked about this terrible struggle she had of experiencing God in her prayers. And this was a living saint who lived what she prayed and prayed what she lived her whole life. And she didn't feel very good about what she was doing at the end. And neither do I. And I know from talking to you, many of you struggle with the same things, and yet we practice the presence of God. We strengthen our hearts in holiness. We run our slow, painful 10-kilometer races, and we put on our variety shows, and we come together as a community of Christians to support one another, to practice love for God and each other and the world. And in doing that, there is something enormously precious and beautiful. In our gospel, Jesus says, when you hear about all those cataclysms happening, when the Omicron variant comes and more earthquakes and wildfires and snowstorms and who knows what, lift up your heads, stand up tall, because your redemption is drawing near. You and I, all of us, are held in the palm of God's hand. God is with us, Emmanuel, to see us through this world and to bring us with joy into the next. And our whole task is to be faithful and patient and loving and to celebrate our mediocrity as we practice strengthening our hearts in hope. May God bless us in this Advent season and in the coming year. No matter what the world throws at us, may we feel and know the power of God's love and mercy in and through this wonderful community of Muppets. Amen.